Hello, this is Daniel Poppy, pastor at Emmaus Road Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope this message will help you grow in your walk with Christ. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can do so by visiting theroadfc.org and click on the giving link.
Good morning. Let's pray. Holy God, by your Spirit, reveal your radical and surprising love. Come to us through your holy word and let us hear what you are saying. Amen. Today is the third day, or the third Sunday, of Eastertide. I love that we get to celebrate Easter during the spring. It's really cool to celebrate new life in Christ while we also watch the outdoors spring to life again. However, one of the things that I do not appreciate about the springtime is that there are more bugs hanging around bothering me. I know that they're good and helpful. They help with the blooming and all of that, but I don't love that they want to be near me. And June, the June moth invasion is going to begin like real soon. Okay, it's like 2.5 months away, but it feels like right there. It's going to be happening soon, and I'm dreading it. The moths just kind of appear out of nowhere, and they get in my personal space, and then they hide somewhere unknowable just so they can bust out again and scare the pants off you, and who knows what else. But I'm easily startled, so maybe that's just me that is so startled by moths. For example, if a piece of my hair falls out of my head and lands on my arm, I like gasp or scream. I see my shadow, sometimes I scream. When someone who I know is present in the building with me is walking around in the daylight with no evil intention whatsoever, I scream. And that person is Daniel, and it happens at least twice a week, and it's already happened once today, although I didn't scream this time because we were in a hallway and it would echo. Yeah. So I get startled pretty easily. And today, our story begins the day of the resurrection, and Jesus, like a moth, appears out of nowhere, although he's better than a moth, right? Appears out of nowhere, and he yelled, "Boo!" Just kidding. He did not yell boo, but he might as well have. So today, you might want to engage with the story by drawing out the story scene by scene. So if you want to grab a participation bulletin, there is a section in there where you can do this, and it has some instructions you might want to follow. And it's kind of like making a comic strip about the story. We have a bunch of leftover Easter candy that I have right down here. And you can bring me your comic of the story after church, and I'll give you a bunch of candy. How's that, parents? I am one, so I am setting myself up for this too. So here we go, you know? Okay. All right, so let's read our scripture passage for this Sunday. You can follow along on the screen or with a different Bible, or you can just listen. This is from Luke 24, verses 35 through 48. It's the New Living Translation. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." So our story begins after Cleopas and his wife encountered Jesus on the Emmaus Road. At first, they didn't recognize Jesus. He was just seeming like a stranger who suddenly appeared out of nowhere and was talking with them about what had happened to Jesus. The stranger then explained some scriptures to them to help them understand more of what was going on. And then they finally recognized him as Jesus when he broke bread with them. And poof, he disappeared. They ran to Jerusalem to tell the others, and that is where our story picked up. After the crucifixion, the disciples had gathered together in the upper room. They were pretty disoriented. Their world had turned upside down. They had just been through so much in 1 week. The beauty of the triumphal entry, the joy of their time with Jesus, the woman anointing Jesus, and the strong aroma that filled the space where they were gathered, the deep hurt of Judas's betrayal, the anger and the vengeance of the crowd who condemned Jesus, the shock and grief of the crucifixion and death of Jesus. Everything they thought they knew became something to be questioned. The third day after Jesus died, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and some other women reported that Jesus was alive. The other disciples dismissed it as nonsense, but then others were also reporting their encounters with the living Jesus. After they had heard the report from Cleopas and his wife, out of nowhere, Jesus appeared. Poof! It was like he had just been transported down from the Enterprise. Where's Jay? Where is he for that? The disciples were afraid, and it's not hard to understand why they were afraid. Firstly, having somebody just bust in is startling. And second, resurrection is not normal. So surely this was alarming, even though they had literally just been told several stories about Jesus rising from the dead. But I kind of imagine that they screamed just like I do when Pastor Daniel walks by me. After arriving in the upper room, Jesus responded to their fear and uncertainty by saying, "Peace be with you." And then the disciples offered the traditional response of, "And also with you." Just kidding, they were afraid. Peace is a character of Jesus and his ministry. And the entire Bible is full of stories and wisdom about peace. For example, days before his crucifixion, Jesus entered Jerusalem in the way of peace instead of the usual way of war and dominance. Jesus came to earth to bring peace. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Jesus came to the disciples and recognized the state that they were in. He gave them comfort and invited them to rethink their fear and uncertainty as they used their senses to connect with him. They could feel him. They could see him, they could hear him, they could probably smell him, I don't think they needed to taste him, but they did watch him eat. They were discovering that Jesus was not a ghost or a spirit, but he was really and truly Jesus. They had come to understand that Jesus had conquered death, was fully alive, and was redeeming creation. Jesus met them in their fear. He connected with them and imparted his peace, and they were transformed. This transformation inspired them to commit their entire lives to Jesus and to go into the world and share God's love. Jesus' blessing, "Peace be with you," was realized in their hearts. So this story has a pretty big focus on the bodily resurrection of Jesus, and that was intentional. Luke, who is the author of the Gospel of the book of Luke, kind of makes sense. He wanted to challenge the philosophy that body and soul are separate from one another, and the idea that the body is bad and that the soul is good, and the soul is the eternal part of somebody. But Jesus was not some ghost floating around without a body. Jesus was alive, just as the disciples were. If Jesus' body had not been raised from the dead, Jesus would not have defeated death. The resurrection of the entire being of Jesus shows us that death has no power over God. Jesus' hands and feet bore witness to the crucifixion. The disciples saw and touched his wounds. They saw him breathe, talk, eat, and move. Jesus was alive. This was the same Jesus who had endured the cross and had died. Through the resurrection of Jesus, sin and death were defeated, and salvation and redemption for all of creation had come. The physical resurrection of Jesus is an important reminder of the goodness of our bodies, which are created by God. It reminds us that we are not a soul or a spirit inside a sack full of mostly water, but that we are one being and our whole selves encounter the love of God and are transformed by him and commissioned to be his witnesses, just as his disciples were. Throughout scripture, in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and everywhere, God has been at work and Jesus was continuing what God had already been up to. Jesus was part of God's plan for redemption that had been in action for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. The people in power thought that they had eliminated the threat that Jesus posed to the empire and to their beliefs about God by killing him. But their power was just an illusion. The power which they thought they had exercised didn't even matter because God was at work anyway, even though they did not recognize it. Luke used every opportunity in his gospel to remind his readers of God's consistent faithfulness from the beginning all the way to the end of his gospel book. In chapter 1, we discover the expectation of John the Baptist and Jesus, with plenty of references to prophecies about the Messiah and how those related to them. And now at the end of Luke, he tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan for the redemption of all creation, a plan that includes love, forgiveness, redemption, and wholeness. The appearance of Jesus after the resurrection assured his followers that he was still alive and at work in the world. It was the continuation of all God's work and part of God's plan for redemption. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Jesus helped the disciples understand the scriptures and taught them to think about their fears within God's plan for redemption. Jesus made them witnesses of all that God had done and was doing in the world. The disciples had known Jesus and had seen his ministry. They'd seen his death and they'd seen his resurrected self. They are the perfect people to share the good news of Jesus because they had personally seen that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's plan for the salvation of the world. The disciples were God's witnesses. Though they had to wait to receive the promised Holy Spirit who would empower the church and the world for its mission in the world. And they waited from Easter to Pentecost to receive the Holy Spirit, which was 50 days. As we mentioned briefly earlier, the story of Emmaus Road happened right before this one. We haven't dug too much into that story, but the two stories are definitely a lot alike. In both stories, the disciples encounter Jesus, who appears out of nowhere, and they fail to recognize him at first. There is some explanation involved with the teaching of scriptures. Jesus eats. The disciples recognize Jesus, and their eyes are opened. And then Jesus leaves. Poof. There is a bit of a difference, though. In the Emmaus Road story, Cleopas and his wife went out immediately as witnesses, and they knew exactly what they needed to do after they encountered Jesus. But in the upper room, Jesus told the disciples to be witnesses, and that soon they'd receive the power of the Holy Spirit, which would empower them to share the gospel in the world. The good news of the resurrection is for all people. It did not only belong in the upper room, it went out into the world. The followers of Jesus moved out of fear and uncertainty and were instead filled with confidence to be God's witnesses in Jerusalem and to all nations and to receive the promised Holy Spirit. Our names are not written here in this story, unless maybe your name is Cleopas, but we can discover ourselves in the story anyway. We follow a similar path they did. We also encounter Jesus and sometimes fail to notice or we misunderstand what's going on. The disciples had their confusion, doubts, and fear, and so do we. The world is in chaos. There is a lot of pain and suffering, hate and violence, injustice, cruelty. It seems as though God is absent and like God isn't doing anything about it. It all feels impossible and overwhelming and leaves us asking big questions like, where is God in this crisis? What can I, one person, even do that makes a real difference? How could this terrible thing ever improve? We don't always recognize God at work because we are distracted by our confusion, doubt, and our fear. We also hear the scriptures and learn from them, just as the disciples did. We come to see and understand them better as we grow in our faith and learn to make sense of the world and how we are God's witnesses in the world. We eat with Jesus as well. We receive communion, and in that eating, we remember the salvation Jesus has given us. And we remember all that Jesus has done and all that Jesus will do. We then recognize Jesus as the disciples did. We notice Jesus at work, and we experience a transformation. Our eyes are opened, and our hearts are moved. Oh, it's my spot. Our eyes are open and our hearts are moved, and we are changed because we have encountered the risen Christ. Jesus has offered peace and comfort to us in our doubts and confusion and fear. In the two stories, Jesus made an exit. But for us, we are the ones who exit. We're sent out to be God's witnesses in the world. And we witness the good news of salvation and redemption in Jesus to others. We share the power of God in the midst of hardship. God has power over everything and has a big plan to bring redemption for all creation. And we are now witnesses of God's peace to a world that is broken and in chaos and in fear. I am reminded of a poem by St. Teresa of Avila. It goes like this. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. So Christ did ascend to the right hand of God and does have a body. But on earth, we are Christ's body. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his body, we are his eyes. What a beautiful commission for us. We are with the witnesses of Jesus in Fort Collins and Greeley and Loveland and in all the world as we join God's work on earth. Please join me in prayer before we receive communion. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus, to receive your light and be your light. May we see you in this common bread and in our common lives, in our hunger and our fullness, in our suffering and our joys, in our waiting and our hope. Feed us also with bread unseen. Open our hearts, Lord, and fill our cups to overflowing. Prepare your table of blessing, even in the presence of our enemies. May we reflect your light to the world with compassion for the poor and passion for justice and liberation for the oppressed. Pour for us the cup of heaven. Come to the table of the Lord, you who are longing for God's face, you who are weary from the world, you who have fed on the bread of sorrow, you who have quenched your thirst with tears. Come, for the table is ready. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.